As we prepare ourselves for the message, would you bow with me in a word of quietness to allow all of us to center our hearts and our minds? Amen. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." Jesus said, "You are the light of the world." And what this means is that we together are the salt of the earth, and we together are the light of the world. This week, we have been faced with all of the chaos that's going on in the world with politics and pandemics and protests. And this week, what I'm going to add is another P word, and that's pandemonium in our nature as we look at the wildfires and the hurricanes. Oh my gosh, politics, pandemics, protests, and pandemonium. How are we supposed to respond to that? And Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world." Today we will talk about coping mechanisms. How is it that we respond? Because in the midst of the darkness, in the midst of the chaos, Christ says, "We are the salt. We are the light." I want to tell you about two car accidents that I had, one great big and one very small. It was 20 years ago that I went for a nighttime meeting 100 miles away. It was December 1st, and in that December, it was cold, it was snowy, it was windy, and I took off down the interstate, and we had our meeting, and the meeting was done, and I came home. What I did not know was that in the 2 hours during my meeting, the wind had shifted. And so as I came home, the sky was clear, but the ground blizzards were beginning. This worked fine. The road was clear until there was one particular place where the road took one jog in the wrong direction. And what I could not have realized until I was right in the middle of it was that there were finger drifts. There were major finger drifts that were across the highway, and I hit those on cruise control at speed limit, and it threw me out of control. In a blink of an eye, I was in that snow-covered ditch. I was upside down and rolling. I could feel the car, the top of the car, crushing in on me, and as time slows down, and all you can do is watch this accident around you. And then, in another blink of an eye, it was done. And the car settled, and I was right side up, and I realized that I was not dead, that I was fine. And I unbuckled that seat belt, and I jammed that door open, and I walked away. We lost the car, but that's nothing compared to death and injury. Now, life just went on with a new normal. We had to figure things out and balance out and make things work. I thought that I was done with that accident. I wasn't. 2 years later, I was in a teeny tiny accident. I was in the streets. I was coming down a hill. At the bottom of the hill was a stop sign. I'd been down that hill 1,000 times. There was a car in front of me. Ice, ice, ice. And so I was moving all of about 6-7 miles an hour. I put on the brakes and realized that there were going to be no brakes on this one. I managed to slow the car down, and at all of about 1 or 2 miles an hour, bonk, I bumped the car ahead of me. I had no idea what to do. I absolutely was blank. I froze and realized that all of a sudden I was back in the other car as it was rolling down the ditch. That response had wired itself into me, and I was in a frozen mode. Now, everything was fine. I mean, there was no damage. There was nothing. It was fine. But that moment taught me that I was having issues in the way that I was responding to situations, and I needed to be very, very aware of it. I learned in that moment of that tiny little bump that my coping mechanisms were off. What's a coping mechanism? A coping mechanism is how you cope with a situation. How is it that you cope with what is going on in your lives and the things that happen to you? And that coping mechanism is then the emotional and physical response that you offer into that. We are told that there are basically three different ways that we respond in coping mechanisms: fight, flight, or paralysis. Fight, flight, or freeze. Some of us, by nature, when something happens, we fight. We are right into the situation and we run to it. Some of us, by nature, are in flight. And when something happens, we will immediately backtrack, run away. And some of us will simply freeze. And we don't have the ability to go deeper inside of that. In the same way that we have fight, flight, and freeze inside of our individuality, and that those coping mechanisms may change, that how you respond as a teenager may not be how you respond at all when you're 80 and 90. It changes inside of our life, and it changes situationally. But in the same way that it can affect us individually, it can affect us as a body, as a group. Oh, how about as a church? And so here we are faced with the chaos today. Politics, pandemics, protests, and pandemonium in nature. Where do you even begin? How do you even begin? When we are moving and working inside of our response, today I want to guide us on how we respond as a church. And you put this into your own situation. What small group, large group, what is it that works for you that we are with? There was a time when we took our girls on a mission trip to Lithuania. Our family loves short-term mission trips. And the first time that we went over into Lithuania, which is in northeastern Europe in the Baltic nations. And in Lithuania, we went to the far northern end, to the city of Birje. Birje is almost on the border with Russia. And this country was still coming up off of the Soviet Union's occupation. They had only been free for, just over a decade. In all of the time that the Soviets had occupied Lithuania, the churches had been underground. The Russians may have thought that they were gone, but they weren't. They were simply hiding. And all of these churches, including the Methodist Church, began to surface and began to build and began to grow and began to enter into ministry. What was fascinating when we went over to Lithuania is that you could still very, very obviously see fight, flight, or freeze. Here's how we looked at it, how I saw it. There were those inside of the Lithuanian population that chose flight. Now, sometimes that had been that they just picked up, packed up, and got out of the country. They went to another point and a place in Europe in order to work. But sometimes they were in flight right where they were at. The alcoholism, drug addiction, and suicide levels in Lithuania were huge, absolutely huge. And that for them absolutely was a coping mechanism as they were in flight from the brutal reality that was surrounding them. Then there were those who were in freeze mode. Freeze mode in Lithuanian and in those old communist days, what it meant was, it's just status quo. Ain't nothing I can do about it. It is what it is. And in that freeze mode, they just survived. They would find a place to live. They would get a communist apartment up in those concrete buildings. They would start a family, and they would simply go to their government-appointed work day in, day out, day in, day out. Here's life. That's a freeze response. But then we were placed right into the middle of a fight response inside of this Birge United Methodist Church. They were incredible. Oh my gosh, the laughter that we experienced and the joy. And it was not joy because everything was good. It was joy because they had something to offer. They were the salt of the earth. They were the light of the world inside of their community. This tiny little congregation did strange things. They unscrewed the pews from the floor in the sanctuary, and they moved the pews around all the time according to what was the use that they needed inside that room at that moment. They installed a shower. They put in washing machines and dryers so that the community would have a place to go. All of this in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they outgrew that tiny little church, and we went there to help them renovate what had been a Soviet Army recruitment station, and they were completely cleaning it out inside, rebuilding it from the ground up inside, and creating a church out of it so that they could fight in the most loving ways what was happening inside of their culture and inside of their community. Fight, flight, and freeze is very, very viable, very, very powerful inside our own churches, inside our governments, our communities. This is our coping mechanism, and we get to choose what our coping mechanism is going to be. This is what I want you to know. You have a choice that you can fight, flight, or freeze. How then do we approach this? We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. In Spearfish, that's who we are. But not just in Spearfish, in the surrounding towns. Our ministries, our love reaches into Lead and Deadwood. It reaches into Piedmont and Sturgis and up into Belle Fourche. It reaches up into Buffalo and over into Sundance. All of these places, all of these ways that we are an active church. We choose the fight mode to fight in love. What does that look like? I want to take you into the Apostle Paul. And I want to take you into Romans chapter 12. You've heard it once. But now I want to simply walk through this with very little explanation and to let Paul himself speak to you what it means to be a church, to be an individual, to be a family that fights in love for what is right in order to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And Paul says this to begin with. I urge you, my brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, God's good, pleasing, and perfect will. By the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly of yourself than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. Each member belongs to all the others. we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a person's gift is prophesying, then let that person use it in proportion to their faith. If it is serving, let them serve. If it is in teaching, let them teach. If it is encouraging, let them encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let them give generously. If it is leadership, let them govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let them do it cheerfully. The first 8 verses inside of Romans 12 are all about who we are inside. This is who you need to be. Look in the mirror. Who are you? Acknowledge that you have unique gifts, skills, and abilities. Be that person. But then Paul picks up, and starting in the 9th verse, he's not focusing on the individual anymore. Now he's saying, take that and put it out into the world. This is where we find the coping mechanisms. If you are going to really be true and strong in your coping mechanism, it means that you're going to be realizing it is not about you, it is about outside. It is about reaching out. It is about loving and caring for others. It is not about forcing others to do your will. It is about meeting them in their needs. All right, let me give this to you. And then I want to close with a story from Archbishop Desmond Tutu. Now listen to this. With no explanation, I simply want to give you these words from Paul and ask you, does this describe you? Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless, and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What is your coping mechanisms, my friends? How is it that you respond to politics, pandemics, protests, and pandemonium? It's overwhelming. And yet, we are still called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. It's overwhelming. Will you be in flight? Will you freeze? Or will you, in the name of love, fight? Let me tell you about Archbishop Desmond Tutu. As Bishop Tutu was down in South Africa fighting in those days of apartheid, and fighting to overcome, to break down the walls so that white and black could again begin associating and that there would be justice and fairness, some semblance of equality happening inside of that nation. One of the major places that protest occurred was in worship services. Not just black, not just white, in all nature of worship services, there were those who in specific churches, specific situations, would stand up and speak for justice. Archbishop Tutu was going to speak in one of the local churches. What had just happened a week or two before is that the government had clamped down and made church services that had political leanings, or what they perceived to be political. I mean, in reality, it was simply Kingdom of God stuff. But they had made these illegal, and Tutu still was up and preaching. And so on that morning, as he was in a church, as that congregation was there, all of a sudden the back doors open and in came South African police, armed to the gills. And they came down the aisles. Now, what would you do? What would I do? Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. If I were there, I probably would have gone to flight and to say, okay, we're done. Or I would have frozen and not know what to do. Or I would have fought in aggressiveness and aggravation and anger and fear. Tutu chose none of the above. As the salt of the earth and the light of the world, in light of that situation, Tutu stops his sermon, steps back from the pulpit, looks, and starts laughing. Laughing! And then begins speaking directly to the armed policemen that are surrounding that worshiping congregation. And he says to them with all sincerity, as only Archbishop Tutu can truly do, he said to them, "We have been wanting you to come worship with us for years, and here you are. Thank you so much for taking this moment to accept the invitation to be in God's plan. Welcome to the winning side." Can I be like that? Can you be like that? Can we be like that in the face of politics and pandemics and protests and pandemonium in nature? Can we be like that, stepping into the world with our coping mechanism that says we have in our hands the living power of Jesus Christ, the power that heals? I don't know what it is that you were called to do this week, but here's what I know: you can do it. You have God's permission to be the salt of the earth. You have God's permission to be the light of the world. In the midst of overwhelm, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of everything that is being thrown at us, instead of resorting to fear and anger, abandonment and frustration, instead of fleeing or freezing or fighting in negative ways, you are invited. This week, my friends, may it be that you fight in love. Because Christ has made you the salt of the earth and the light of the world. In Jesus' name, may this be you. Amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, in the midst of a world that doesn't want to hear these words, that does not want to hear words about love, that does not want to hear words that are going to make us change because we're each right, Lord, humble us and teach us again and again what it means to simply be your followers. In fight, in flight, in freezing, whatever it may be, Lord, we pray that you would guide us in love. Teach us how to respond in Christ's name. Amen. Let's see what you do with that this week.